Welcome to Speaking of Grace, the weekly message podcast from the Whole Life Church in Orlando, Florida. We're a multi-ethnic, multicultural, and multi-generational congregation committed to our mission of loving people into a lifelong friendship with God. We are committed to our vision of being a church without walls, fully engaged in serving the people of our community. Thank you for joining us as we continue Speaking of Grace.
So we are finishing our three-part Christmas series. It's been a series called Overflowing Gifts. The first week, we talked about something that I don't think we often talk about at Christmas time, prophecy, right? The gift of prophecy. And we kind of talked about maybe it isn't exactly what you always kind of picture of being like this foretelling the future, but the real purpose of prophecy is to strengthen God's people. It's to comfort God's people. It's there to provide encouragement. That's what the real purpose of prophecy is. It isn't just about foretelling the future. It's about saying, God's in charge of the future. You have nothing to worry about, nothing to fear. And truly, we see that overflow out of the Christmas story. If you read through Matthew and Luke, you will see in the Christmas story, prophecy after prophecy, and especially Matthew loves to talk about how Jesus fulfilled the prophecies. And so last week, we talked about the gift of presence. I asked you, would you rather have presence or presence? And if you didn't have a chance to watch that sermon, you can go back and watch it. I don't have time to talk you through all of it. But we kind of talked about how God is Emmanuel, God with us. He gave us the best gift, the gift of himself, the gift of being present with us. And today, as I close off this series, I want to talk to you about the final overflowing gift that I believe we find in the Christmas story. It is the gift of praise. And particularly if you look at the book of Luke, it is hard to go a verse or two without somebody praising God in the book of Luke, chapters 1 and 2. And so what I'm wanting to do today is talk about praise. And a few of you are like, okay, I get it. Let's praise God. God is good. Amen. Let's move on. But can I ask you a quick question? Do you know the difference between thankfulness and praise? Because they are two different things. They're related, but they're different. So let me go ahead and give you an illustration. Thursday rolls around. You have bought the perfect gift for that somebody special to you. They open the gift, they look at it, and they say, oh, wow, I love this. This is amazing. I love what you got for me. Thank you for giving me this amazing gift. That's thankfulness. That's thankfulness. And we all like a good thank you, don't we? Yes, nothing. It's a good thing. And I think that tends to be, I don't know about your prayer life, but that tends to be my prayer life when it comes to Thanksgiving and praise. I tend to be like, thank you, Jesus, for giving me a place to live. I'm grateful to live where I'm living right now when so many other people in the world are suffering. And thank you for giving me hot weather in Florida in December. I am personally grateful for that. Some of you may not, but that's one of the reasons I like living here, okay? So thank you for this, thank you for that. Nothing wrong with that. It's a good thing. And what if there was something more that you could add? Let me put it this way. How do you feel when you buy that gift, that special gift? You really thought it through. Ken's going to talk about this a little bit later. The other Ken. I'm not referring myself in third person, just to be clear. All right. You've got the perfect gift. Like I said, they open it and they say, thank you. This is an amazing gift. And then they say, and you know what? You are such a thoughtful person. I can tell you put so much time into thinking this through and getting this gift. You just have a way of really knowing what people want and need and then doing that. You're an incredible person. Feels a little different, doesn't it? That's the difference between praise and thankfulness. Thankfulness centers around me. Thank you for what you did for me. Praise centers around the other person. You are amazing. You are incredible. It's not about the gift, it's about the giver of the gift. Does that make sense? Let me see if I can prove that to you by showing you six forms of praise that I came across in the Christmas story in the book of Luke. We're going to need to move fast. You with me? Here we go. This is the first story. This is about Zechariah, who is the father of John the Baptist, who's going to go prepare the way for Jesus. Zechariah and his wife Elizabeth are not able to have children, but miraculously, Elizabeth becomes pregnant. They have their baby, and Zechariah prays this prayer, and I want to read it to you. So here it is. Hold on. It's a little bit of a read, but as I'm reading it, see if you can figure out what kind of praise, because I want to tell you there's going to be six different kinds of praise. So see if you can figure out what kind this one is. Then his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and gave this prophecy. Praise the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has visited and redeemed his people. He has sent us a mighty savior from the royal line of his servant David, just as he promised through his holy prophets long ago. Now we will be saved from our enemies and from all who hate us. He has been merciful to our ancestors by remembering his sacred covenant, the covenant he swore with an oath to our ancestor Abraham. We have been rescued from our enemies so that we can serve God without fear and holiness and righteousness for as long as we live. And you, my little son, will be called. Can you just see, we saw Emmanuel up here earlier and we saw Jonathan. Can you see, just imagine Zechariah holding John and saying, and you, my little son, will be called the prophet of the Most High because you will prepare the way for the Lord. You will tell his people how to find salvation through the forgiveness of their sins. Because of God's tender mercy, the morning light from heaven is about to break upon us to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death and to guide us to the path of peace. Isn't that beautiful? Gorgeous. You could spend a whole day just more meditating on this one beautiful thing. But my question for you is, what kind of praise is it? If there's a category for it, what is it? Did you catch those first, when it kind of interested, it said he prophesied. This is a prophetic praise. And what I want you to notice is that Zechariah does something pretty incredible. He notes how God has worked in the past. And then he notes how God is, because of that faithfulness, he knows God's going to do something in the future. Some of you need to praise God for what he hasn't already done. Yeah. Right? You need to praise God for what he hasn't done, because if you're carefully thinking about it, you will know that he's been faithful in the past. And a lot of us don't spend enough time thinking about how God has been faithful in the past. And the prophetic praise is the praise that says, I know you've been faithful in the past, and I know that means you'll be faithful in the future. I can prophetically say with comfort, encouragement, strengthening, that the God that was faithful before will be faithful again. I can say it. And I'm not saying name it and claim it. What I'm saying is believing that God will do what's best, that he will keep his promises. So, next praise that we're looking at in Luke chapter 1, verses 46 and 55, this is Mary, Jesus' mother, praising God. She's with her relative Elizabeth. Again, I don't have time to kind of get into the backstory of this, but she prays this magnificent prayer. Mary says, "Oh, my soul praises the Lord. How my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior, for he took notice of his lowly servant girl. And from now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the mighty one is holy and he has done great things for me. He shows mercy from generation to generation to all who fear him. His mighty arm has done tremendous things. He has scattered the proud and the haughty ones. He has brought down princes from their thrones and exalted the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away with empty hands. He has helped his servant Israel and remembered to be merciful, for he made this promise to our ancestor Abraham and his children forever." So how do we categorize this particular praise? I want to suggest to you, for me and for Dietrich Bonhoeffer, and if you don't know who Dietrich Bonhoeffer is, look him up. Great theologian. But Dietrich Bonhoeffer called this prayer of Mary the most passionate and revolutionary hymn of the Advent. This is a praise of subversion and revolution. What do I mean by that? Look at what Mary says. You have taken the people who think they're important and put them where they really belong. You have scattered the proud and haughty ones. You have brought down princes from their thrones and exalted the humble. Do you know that God's capable of taking care of the world's problems? Do you know that God is capable of creating a revolution? God is capable of fixing what's broken in this world. And there are parts of this world where the proud and the haughty need to be put in the right place. Not as punishment, but so they know who the true God is and who really rules this world. And a lot of us, again, could praise God for revolution and subverting the normal order of this world, where it's the rich, the wealthy, and the powerful that control everything. But in God's paradigm, it's not about what you own. It's about the relationship that you have with him. And by the way, if you're wealthy, God's not saying, I don't like you. But my question is, how are you using the resources that God gives you? That's the question. That's the question that has to be answered. So praise isn't just nice thoughts about God. It's recognizing that his coming changes the power structures of the world. It's the praise of the oppressed finding hope. Can you, if you are feeling oppressed today, praise God and find hope in it? If you do, you're joining in Mary's praise. How about this one? These are the angels. The angel shows up to the shepherds and says, congratulations, the Messiah has been born. And then the whole heavenly host shows up and starts praising God, saying, glory. It's okay, we're going to do this again because you did not sound like a mighty angel choir, okay? And I would read it myself, but I do not sound like a mighty angel choir. I need you to help me out with this. So I'm going to read the first part, and then you're going to read it again. Suddenly, the angel is joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying,
glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth to those whom God pleases.
Shivers. Love it. What kind of praise is this? This is what we're going to call a praise of declaration. This is the angels declaring what has happened. Declaration. Praise God. Glory to God. Peace on earth. And by the way, do you hear that? Some of us need to hear this today. True praise always results in peace for people. You cannot glorify God in the highest without desiring peace for your neighbor. Can we agree on that? And who's my neighbor? It's the person I don't like very much. It's the person who grew up in a different place than I did. It's the person who looks different than I do. It's the person who voted different than I do. It's the person who belongs to a different religion than I do. It's the person who doesn't see Adventism the same way I do. It is the person who does agree with me too. In short, my neighbor is the person that's near me. And if you cannot wish peace for all those people, you cannot be giving glory to God in the highest. And I know many of you with your whole hearts want to give glory to God in the highest. So don't let your neighbor be what stops you. Peace on earth. Declaration. God, you are in charge. This is what you have done. Next, it's the shepherds. The shepherds go, they see the baby, they go back and they glorify and praise God for all they heard and seen. And it says that they went and told everybody they came in contact. We've seen God. We've seen the Messiah. They tell everybody. What kind of praise would this be? Well, this would be a praise of what I would call witness. This is where you experience something. You witness God do something and you tell other people, I saw this happen. Maybe it happened to you. Maybe it happened to somebody else, but it is a praise of witness. You know, our praises aren't just to benefit God. Does God really need our praise? He deserves our praise, but does he need our praise? Nah, he doesn't. He is pretty self-sufficient. But is it possible that someone needs to hear your praise of God? Yes. Have you ever given a recommendation about somebody to somebody else and then had them later come back and go, thank you for telling me about that person. They're amazing. Have you ever been recommended a doctor or a dentist, a place to eat? And they go, oh, I love this place. This is amazing. And you're like, ah, oh, good recommendation. Thank you for it. This is the praise that says to another person, look, I highly recommend God because, right? You following along? All right. Next one, Simeon. Simeon is a priest in the temple. By the way, the only part of the religious structure that actually recognizes the Messiah when the Messiah shows up. Jesus is brought, just like Jonathan brought Emmanuel today to be dedicated. Jesus is brought by his parents to be dedicated. And Simeon is there. And Simeon takes Jesus in his arms and prays God, saying, Sovereign Lord, now let your servant die in peace as you have promised. I have seen your salvation, which you have prepared for all people. He is a light to reveal God to the nations, and he is the glory of your people, Israel. Oh. What kind of praise is this? It is the praise of fulfillment. When God fulfills his promises, do you praise him for it? Simeon said, you told me that I get to see the Messiah before I died, and now I've done it, and I am good. I have seen what I need to see. I'm good. When God fulfills his promises, do you praise him for it? Do you say, yeah, you followed through, you fulfilled it? See, there's a lot of different ways to praise God. The final one is Anna. And Anna comes along when Mary's talking with Joseph. This is right after Simeon has held Jesus. And Anna is a prophetess, and she's been single for a very long time. She was married for a very short time. She's been married, a widow for a very long time. And she comes along and she sees Mary and Joseph. She begins praising God. She talked about the child to everyone who had been waiting expectantly for God to rescue Jerusalem. So what kind of praise is this? This isn't, you might say, well, this isn't this a praise of witness? No, this is actually a praise of proclamation. This is a praise of proclamation. What do I mean by that? Well, what I mean by that is her praise didn't stay between her and God. It immediately turned into a message for others. She was saying, I see this. You need to know this. I am proclaiming to you something you need to know. You need to be aware that the Messiah is here. A prayer, a proclamation. So both a prayer of witness and proclamation are for other people, but they're slightly different in what they're trying to do. One is, I have had this happen to me. The other one is, this has happened. Know about it. Prayer, praise of proclamation. So right now you may be looking at this and say, oh, that's very nice, Ken. I appreciate that. But I don't know. I mean, I think I'm pretty happy with just saying, thank you, Jesus, for my food. Thank you, Jesus, for this. But I want to challenge you. I think that if you want to take praise a little bit further, you're going to get more out of your spiritual life. What do I think you're going to get out of it? Well, I think firstly that praise is the antidote to pride. It centers the universe correctly around what the universe really centers around, which it ain't you. And if you don't believe it, ask your children. They will tell you. If you don't believe them, ask your siblings. They will for sure let you know that you may be a firstborn, but the world does not center around you, Ken. The world centers around Jesus. And praise reminds us of that. Reminds us that we're not the center of things. You know, praise doesn't really change God's size. God is infinite. But you know what praise does do? It changes your perspective of God. It reminds you of how big God is, and it reminds you that he's more than you can imagine. And so when you take the time to praise, it doesn't change God, it changes you. It changes your perspective. That's why you need praise. By the way, praise shifts the atmosphere. It changes anxiety into hope. It reminds you that when you are still in pain and you're still in the battle, that doesn't have to stop you from proclaiming that God has already won. There are a few of you today who are fighting battles, and you're like, I will be happy to pray a prayer of fulfillment as soon as God will hurry up and get this taken care of. But could I challenge you to pray a praise of prophecy, saying God will do it? Could I encourage you to think about a prayer of praise of declaration? We can all praise God when God's doing things the way that we want him to, but again, that puts the universe around me and not him. You know, I don't believe that we can praise God for what he did yesterday without finding hope for what he can do today. Praise isn't just an afterthought. It is the culmination of joy. I want to say that one more time. I want you to catch that. Praise is not an afterthought. And in my life, can I just be truthful? It is often an afterthought. Dear Jesus, thank you for this. I praise you for being good. Praise is not an afterthought. It is the culmination of joy. And I want to read you a quote from C.S. Lewis that makes this point. C.S. Lewis writes this: I think we delight to praise what we enjoy because the praise not merely expresses, but completes the enjoyment. Do you hear that? It doesn't merely express, but it completes the enjoyment. It's appointed consummation. It's not out of compliment that lovers keep on telling each other how beautiful they are. The delight is incomplete till it's expressed. It's frustrating to have discovered a new author and not to be able to tell anyone how good that author is. To come suddenly on the turn of a road upon some huge mountain valley of unexpected grandeur and then to have to keep quiet because the people with you don't care about it any more than they would care about a tin can in the ditch. To hear a good joke and find no one to share it with. Fully to enjoy is to glorify. In commanding us to glorify him, God is inviting us to enjoy him. We're talking about overflowing things this season. This year we've talked about it. And when we talk about overflowing praise, I want to beg you to think about this. The joy in your heart for God, the moment that you could be praising God for, will never overflow until you actually praise God for it. It'll get pretty close to the top, but it'll never reach its full expression of joy and enjoyment until you thank God for it. What do I mean by that? You guys have all visited someplace or been somewhere, and it was like the most beautiful place, the most amazing food, and you've thought, I wish somebody was here with me. I want to share this with this person that I know would love it. And when we praise God, we're sharing our enjoyment with God, and we are completing what enjoyment is. I also think we should probably get used to doing it, because I'm told in Revelation that when Jesus returns and takes us to be to heaven with him, the Revelator says, I heard what sounded like a vast crowd that I hope you and I are all a part of. And I heard them shouting, praise the Lord. Salvation and glory and power belong to our God.
Hi, this is Randy McGray, podcast producer and host here at Whole Life Church. Loving people into a lifelong friendship with God is our mission at the Whole Life Church, and our podcasts are designed to help facilitate conversations that help us grow together in that pursuit. Now that you've heard the message for this week, don't forget to check out the Whole Life takeaways for this message. Swipe up in today's show notes and join the conversation. Speaking of conversations, each Wednesday morning we take a closer look at the week's message. That's right, the one you just listened to. We discuss practical ways to apply spiritual lessons and ask honest questions about the issues we face as Christians, all focused through the lens of grace. Your voice is a welcomed addition to that conversation. We encourage your thoughts and your questions by sending a voicemail or text to 407-965-1607 or send an email to podcast@wholelife.church. You can find everything podcast related on our website, wholelife.church/podcast. And plan on spending every Tuesday evening and Wednesday morning with us as we bring you the Whole Life Church inspiration you love straight into your headphones. Thanks for listening, and have a great week.